Bella D'Angelo Show, a unique voice in conservative talk radio, can now be heard irradiating stupidity, teaching critical thinking, and encouraging confidence. So forget the Mickey Mouse madness and get back to the facts with your host, Bella D'Angelo.
Well, I can just let the neighborhood know, okay? You know, kids are fine out in the yard tonight. Everybody is getting the reprieve from Bella sans the bikini in the kiddie pool in the back of the mobile studio. We actually got some relief with some nice storms today, so it's cooler. It's tolerable in the mobile studio. I tell you, though, what is not even tolerable, and I was talking to a bunch of my friends on through Facebook, through just all of my different acquaintances. Everybody was swearing off and boycotting the DNC convention. Guys, I said it was my civic duty. It was my radio girl responsibility to watch it. But I tell you what, I don't know how they reconstituted Slick Willie. They padded him with enough makeup and propped him up with the most bizarre. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't. We will get.
You can't make it.
We will.
And did you know that now Miami is going to just go ahead and be a part of the ocean now? Global warming is taking over everything. Miami is apparently going to sink right into the ocean. California, forget about California. We're talking about the West Coast completely falling into the ocean. Everybody will be living in tents. Millions of acres on fire. Everything is just worthless. There's no sense in living in California anymore because global warming is taking them all down. You heard that, didn't you?
I got an answer. Send them
what?
All. Send every single un-American, liberal, mental disorder, wacko, lunatic, flag-waving of another country. Send them all over there. Let them all fall off. Or at least what I used to say is, can we divide the country in half? Let the left go on the left, the right go on the right, and just be done with it. But before we get too serious, we've got a little bit serious other business to tend to. I have to give you the Wilson update because he has now become a regular segment. I didn't quite know what I was getting into managing a 71-year-old curmudgeon Bernie Sanders wannabe. When I say he's antisocial, he doesn't like the general public. If you've been listening and following, guys, I got myself a little bit, I when left alone with my own devices, I am very creative. And this thing, I built a monster. What can I say? I mean, so if you're new to listening to the show, so my 71-year-old curmudgeon best friend, I wanted him to get socialized. So, guys, I did the right thing. I thought, one way is I would get him at least entertained with online dating. I didn't think it was going to actually morphous into anything. I thought that he would, because, he's not technically savvy. I mean, I call myself technically retarded, but that's just a false flag. Actually, I'm way ahead of anybody. Trust me, you just don't know it. I just let you think that I'm incompetent and capable so that I could really do it in on you. So I set this online dating thing up, and so then I was at the other end of it, sending back the emails with I'm telling you. And where do I get my ideas? Guys, if you are bored, guys, girls, all of you listening, go to Craigslist someday. Look in the personal sections, like in the casual and the men and the cat. I mean, the things that these people will say, and I have a higher probability of offending anyone, but I could not believe, well, I took some creative courses from my bizarro postings on Craigslist, and simply, so then I'm responding back to his emails from the online, and of course, I had this great idea of putting these really hot chicks, you know, photoshopping and age appropriate for all the different online that I was posting.
Well, hang on now. Well, let's talk about this. Now, how long have you been going on to Craigslist?
Only a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay. So it hasn't been too long.
No, and it was harmless how it all started. We were looking for...
Always is.
Harmless. Till it hurts.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
It started because we were trying to find a receptionist at work, and then I'd never noticed the personal section before, and so I expected just to look and see like harmless postings, like boy looking for normal. And then I said to myself, "You ain't gonna see any of that crap. This is Craigslist." But what I didn't expect was to see what I did see. So then it got my dirty, naughty, monkey little mind in gear, and I thought, oh, I'm going to use this material on Wilson because he's got to get out there and meet some you know, people, some ladies. And so I created these responses back to him. Well, guys, he got himself so worked up. As I mentioned last time, he went and he started getting these a fountain of youth pills, which frightens me. I don't even know what the hell they are or what they're going to do to them.
What the hell is a fountain of youth pill? What is that? Is it blue?
That's those things that make you sit in a bathtub in your backyard and watch the sunset.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to be alone, right?
Yeah, I think it says there's actually a warning on there not to be alone.
I don't know, but here's the thing. So then I get home, and then I have to listen to all of his excitement. And then at first he was getting nervous, and then it sounded like he wanted me to go with in these encounters, and I didn't know how. And then I actually have to find women to go meet with him. And this thing is just getting too out of control. So now I'm thinking, okay, I've got to stop him of this. So a couple of things. First of all, so then he started worrying that, I don't know, he gets his mind gets over busy. So with this hacking thing, you know, with Hillary and Russia and everything, he tells me that he thinks that the neighbor hacked into his email account and was potentially conversing with his Russian ladies, his you know, Asian me love you long time ladies, and he was getting suspicious, and so he was having terroristic thoughts towards the neighbor. And I thought, okay, this is where I have to stop it. So if I see him heading towards the neighbor, I've gotten a slingshot. I will just, when I come visit him, I'll just nail him in the ass, you know, I maybe a shock collar. But you have to take drastic measures during drastic times. And then I thought, well, I need a squirt gun because I don't want handcuffs or to be in the back seat when I go out in public with him, when he starts getting some of those crazy ideas, like we'll be in like Panera getting, you know, grabbing something to have dinner, and he'll start trying to tell me that he thinks that one of the girls he's been talking to is actually there in Panera, and he wants to go up and approach her, so I'm going to have to just squirt him with the water bottle, zap him back to reality. And then I thought, no, here's what I need to do, guys. What do you think about this? Okay, I was sending him all these hot mama pictures with all this really lusty sex texting talk that I was kind of famous for in the oil fields. Well, what if I send him pictures of, like, close to Pelosi with strap-ons with real graphic details of what she wants to do to him?
Sounds like trouble.
I think it'll cure him, because if I back down from the hotties, the supposed hotties, and just start sending him all these he-she's and all these different compromising positions and Photoshop of all these nasty, scary things, that I think, you know, wouldn't I, I'll tell you what, it cured me of ever, and Eric, I say this from the very beginning, from when your relief showed me farmersonly.com, it didn't take me very long to realize I would never take seriously dating online. Never. It has got to be the most scariest thing you could ever imagine as a single person. It cured me of it. Of course, and when I was in the oil field, I didn't even consider it because, of course, I was just happy when I got home at night surviving, as I used to call it, Pervert Pride Nation Station, being, I think I was the one and only female in all of North Dakota when I was out there. But nonetheless, this is from the love of crude oil that is transplanted to Minneapolis, Minnesota, hoping to inspire one more person to find your redneck blue collar.
Hang on. We got to go back to something. What happened with farmersonly.com? I have not heard about this story. What happened?
It was a goat kisser.
What?
A goat kisser.
Bad.
A guy took pictures of him kissing a goat, and I don't mean one picture. I mean like five pictures, and he dressed the damn goat up in outfits and was hugging on the goat. And that wasn't the only one. That's all. I mean, the creepy pictures. But it doesn't have to be farmersonly.com. It's any of them, because nobody tells you the truth. And, you know, the thing is that's part of the breakdown of this society in this country, is the immediate gratification and building yourself up to be something other than you aren't, and just telling lies and creating this image. And, you know, it's the destruction of the moral fiber. But, you know, far be it from me. I've got a mouth that can, you know, jaw ratchet like nobody else. I can sound like a sextapating lunatic. But if I have to get rabbit ass naked to get you paying attention and listening, I will, because we've got a big job ahead of us in 2016. And as George Patton Jr. used to say to me all the time, Red, your criteria for a man goes from my chair to the crown drilling rig, and it's written in Braille. Well, you know what? Those are the morals, the ethics, the character that we have to bring back and start teaching to our children and our generations. And if nothing became any more clear than just how fat shit crazy this country has gotten, guys, I don't know if I was watching an episode of Twilight Zone or if it was the DNC.
I love the Twilight Zone.
I've never seen.
Hey, just before you go to commercial here, there's an ad on Craigslist. The Democrats are running $50 a day to sit in an empty seat and applaud.
No.
Times are tough.
Hey, you know, we got to go into our first break, but when we get back, I want to give an analogy of a dream that I had that makes it pretty clear about what we're actually dealing with in this country, because if you don't sit back and now realize just how critical our vote is in 2016, then you truly have no comprehension of just how far we've gotten away from America being great. And we have to make this country great again. We have to fight, baby, fight. We need a leader, because we have to stop walking around asking, where is my God and where is my country? We'll be right back.
You don't find any better guys in a family team than Polar Builders. These guys are not the storm chasers. They are the GAF and Timberline certified Polar Builders. Upgrades your home needs after hail damage to roofing, siding, and windows. Call and ask for Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Again, that is Bella at Polar Builders, 952-895-8100.
We are back, Bella D'Angelo, and we got Scott and Eric, and, you know, I'm telling you, I don't often share a whole lot about me personally. I don't need to necessarily. I wrote a book about it, which is If This Vortex Doesn't Slow Down. It's on Barnes & Noble and Amazon. Why do I fight so hard against the mental disorder of liberalism? I know it. I understand it. I was knee-high deep in all of them. I'm back in Minneapolis. I really have very little to do with those that I'm supposedly related to because, as I've always said, I was hatched this way. I wasn't taught these values. I was simply hatched this way. I saw the world from a girl's perspective that was a hardworking, entrepreneurial, God-loving, you know, love of country. I just saw it with a common sense view. But I had a dream, and can you imagine if people around you said, so the dream was that I'm dealing with these petulant little children with illogical, non-critical thinking, no cognitive skills, no ability to solve problems, no ability to see the world the way that it truly is, which completely describes the liberal mindset. I know it a little up close and personal because I was related to a whole bunch of them. I have nothing to do with them now. But when you look at the DNC, and I want to first, we're going to get further into it because Eric just came back from the Republican convention. But watching this Democratic convention, they are so far outside of the reality of the dangers of what we are facing in this country that watching them, they are shoving down the same propaganda agenda, yet with the very dangerous above the law, so above the law, that Pelosi can come out and talk about her Facebook buddy Putin as if he private messaged her that they were the ones responsible for hacking and proving what Trump has said all along was that the system is rigged. Now, Eric, I'm going to turn it over to you about the convention in 1 second, but I want people to understand the real success of Trump. What is it that we have been fearing for so long when we realized that it was us against them, the establishment against us? And really, to our credit, given just how powerful Clinton and the Clinton machine and all her money, she also had to result to this rigging of her own system, which by and far she could have single-handedly won it without this coming out. It's quite appropriate that she might possibly be doing herself in by her own hand. But I first want to go to, because the Republican National Convention was such an optimistic and drama-free event with our leader speaking to an audience of almost 80 minutes with keeping them engaged, excited, with solutions to the problems and the fear and the terror that we are facing in this world. And, Eric, you were there.
I was there. You know, we saw a little disunity the first morning. It didn't last very long about the unity and the vote in your conscience deal that California, Utah, and Colorado were kind of surrounding Montana there, and they were making a little hoopla about that. But once it was all gaveled down, they just settled down, and minutes later were cheering for Trump the whole time. So it was just kind of a get a little publicity and then go on with business, which is the way you should do things, right? Other than that, it was just a great conference. We got our business done the first day, and then we listened to all the speeches. Most of them were standing ovations. Everything, at least the way we looked at it as conservatives, was optimistic, forward-looking, talking about the issues this country's got, which we do have a lot of issues in spite of what the Dems say, and we were just marching our way down the path to how we're going to fix all these issues and make America great again. So it was a great time. We saw a lot of celebrities. Hey, I saw Don King in the hallway talking to the press, of all people. But lots of press there, got a lot of interviews done, shook a lot of hands. You know, we had a Montana vest on with bright letters on it, so everybody came up, because everybody either knows somebody in Montana, lived in Montana, or wants to live in Montana, so they had a lot to say about Montana. So we got a lot of good friends, shook a lot of hands, had a great time. So it was a good convention overall, and I think forward-looking, great for America, and just set the tone for the big bump that Trump got after the convention.
Scott, I know that it was hard to hear on the show last week, but I know that you had some questions for Eric as well.
Well, what surprised you about in the conventional? What did the RNC surprise you with?
I didn't really see any surprises. You know, they worked the first week before we all got there. The 100-plus delegates that were picked for the different committees all got together and either changed different rules, regulations, platform, whatever, and then they all voted on all that before it got to us. And then, of course, we had the final say the first day, and that's where that cruise factor kind of snuck in there with the unity vote, the vote your conscience thing that some of those people were pushing. Senator Lee from Utah was really kind of adamant about having a roll call vote, which I don't think would have helped anyway. But so there was a little stir up there. But all that stuff was voted in committee of 100-plus people representing the majority, you know, and the vote was like 85 to 12. So there was no way anything on the floor was going to change that major vote. So that was probably a little bit of surprise because it was a little bit of dissension in the ranks. But like I said, nobody left. They all stayed in the convention hall, and minutes after the gavel was down and everything was voted aye on, they just started cheering for Trump the rest of the 3 or 4 days. So unity was observed.
What surprised you for the most in a positive way? What things did the RNC do that totally surprised you in a real good way?
The camaraderie. People just were shaking hands and cheering with everybody. And of course, the funny thing about conventions is everybody goes around with their state lapel pins and tries to trade theirs for yours, and et cetera, et cetera. So that was kind of probably the most surprising thing because I wasn't ready for that. I didn't have a lot of pins, albeit I'm Tea Party, so I had various Tea Party Eagle Forum pins I was wearing on my vest, and I actually traded some Tea Party pins for some Texas pins in other states, so I was pinned up pretty good for a rookie.
How many business cards did you get?
I only got about a dozen business cards because depending on who you talk to, you know. I handed out more. I probably handed out 100 of Bella's cards and that kind of stuff. Most of the time I forget my cards. They're sitting in my room when I get there, so shame on me. You know, if I just do it all over again, I know a lot more. If I went back, where you got to be. I mean, there's a press area that I just realized after I was talking to some press friends back here that you could have got to more press if you'd have known the hoops and hurdles and circles you had to run in to get to them, because there's always messages we like to get out as conservatives and Tea Party people.
What speaker impressed you the most?
You know, I really liked Giuliani. Was exciting and powerful. Laura Ingraham surprised everybody. She's usually a pretty calm girl, but she was really waving her arms and looking at the press upstairs there, you know, and telling them to toe the line and report the news. And she picked on the pledgeites that didn't follow their pledge. She picked on the Bushes and Cruz and others, you know. She was good. She was really dynamic. In fact, my wife sent me a note then and said, you need to be more like that on your radio show, too. You know, start talking louder and being more dynamic and to make the people listen to you. So I guess we all got to work on that, huh?
So contrary to what the DNC said, there wasn't a bunch of fistfights, a bunch of hotheads running around, a bunch of ruckus. None of that going on, was there?
There was no ruckus, and the Cleveland was such a great host. They had it all figured out, and I never got thanked so much for showing up in my life. Everybody that was working there was Clevelandites,
really?
You know, and they were just so happy with us. And I'll tell you what, Cleveland is not happy with Kasich. Everybody I met from Cleveland had some bad things to say about their governor for not showing up. He said, even if he doesn't like Trump, it's the biggest thing we've seen in Ohio, and he should have come and at least said something about thank you for being here. You know, at least the Democrat mayor of Cleveland got on the stage and thanked everybody for showing up. The police were fabulous. The security was fabulous. There's very little problems in that city. Even the people that went outside to secure areas and partied all night long, I know some of those in town here. No issues at all with anybody.
What do you think of Ted Cruz's speech?
I thought it was lousy. It was, he was, unemotional. No, you know, he's always been that way, kind of unemotional, and then kind of talked about simple issues and points, and but never really endorsed the candidate. And everybody started booing him and trying to get him off the stage at the end.
How loud was that boo?
It was loud.
Okay.
You know, you don't really hear it from the speaker's podium because the microphones filter a lot of the sound out of the stadium where you'd never be able to hear the speaker. But if you're in the hall, it's noisy. And it was noisy at the end of his speech. Even Texas, you know, he had a meeting the next day with his Texas group, and they booed him right there personally at their breakfast. They weren't happy with him.
So, I
think he set the tone for his future. He's going downhill.
Well, as we get into the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to talk a lot about the DNC. There's the list of madness and insanity and crimes and just absolute blatant arrogance. This remember now, Hillary has hung on like a dog with lockjaw. Okay? This is all about power. And the only reason she's hung on to Slick Willie and all of his brutal attacks on women, his blatant, I mean, he's had more, I mean, he's a rapist. I mean, he's got an illness. I mean, he's not called Slick Willie for a reason. The reason she hung on, she was destined to be in the president's spot when Brock got in. But all of a sudden, they bailed on her at the last minute. She sucked it up because she believed in the destiny that she would get it in 8 years. I never believed that the Muzzy sympathizing thug was only going to get 4. It's going to be 8. And trust me, if Hillary gets in, it isn't going to be 4. It'll be 8. But she hung on because she believed that she was destined, determined, and she deserved it for all that she has put up with, not what she has achieved and what she will bring to this country. And if you don't think that this country, I mean, just look at the recent last couple of months. We're waking up every single day. Another cop is being shot, another attack by ISIS, whether it's across the pond or it's here in this country. The racial divide, we are so further racial divide than we've ever been. And now we didn't even need the FBI to investigate. Trump was right from the beginning. So if you want to forever give up your voice and allow the government, the far-reaching corrupt system, to have your voice and silence you and have you forever chained to the system, for those of us working, paying for those that are hooked up to the entitlement, then welcome in and usher Hillary, the establishment. She rigged the system. She didn't even allow the voters to have the vote. And you know what? That was the thing. If you haven't seen Hillary's America, this isn't a new game. This is the way the Dems have played since all the way back, Andrew Jackson, and moving forward. We'll get into that movie as well because, Eric, you saw it. I saw it, and when I walked out, even I had a little bit of schooling of history because that is business as usual. And if we don't fight, baby, fight, if we lose it here, where else will we go? We have to fight. We have to get it right in November. Let's take our next break. We'll be right back.
I'm here to introduce Trust Vets. If you could choose between doing business with an American military veteran or a complete stranger, who would you choose? If you're like me, you would choose the veteran. What if every time you needed to hire a professional for work around your home or office, you could choose to do business with veterans? Friends, the time has come. Visit the online directory of veterans at trustvets.com to find painters, plumbers, dentists, bankers, and more. Whether you need your windows washed, your lawn mowed, or a handyman for a project, you can find verified American military veterans who would be proud to do the work for you. Many people want better for our veterans. Trust Vets is a simple way to make good on those intentions. You can help. You
Before hiring any local service, visit TrustVets.com. Come and join us in doing business with American military veterans. Trust Vets. They've definitely earned it.
And back, Bella D'Angelo, Scott and Erica. Yeah, I'm getting wound up all again, but you know what? If you're not to the point that you don't just get fat shit crazy wound to the point that you are throwing the Effenheimers and getting your blood pressure worked up, and you know, the only thing that calms me right now is that we're finally into the real guts of this whole election process. You know, it was maddening to watch. Now let's go back a little bit. A year ago, Trump declares, everybody laughs. He fights off 17 of them, accused he'll never get 50% of the vote. Then it's supposed to be a brokered convention or a contested convention. He slays it with 1725 of delegates. He's got more votes than any GOP nomination in history. He has struck a chord. And the thing is, he has hit the nerve of the everyday American. You know, I hope to hell the Republican Party is forever demolished after this. I hope that we do what we've needed to do, which is just clean house of all of the little rats and the criminals and all those sucking off the system. And I don't mean those on welfare. I mean those sitting up in office on their long terms and going on their vacations and living forever, because we need a cleaning up of this country. We need, an enema. We need an enema to this country. And it just...
Oh, boy.
But as I've said, drop some lube at them. That's oil spill talk. But you know what?
That's another commercial.
I mean, here's the thing. This is what I learned in this last year. All of them. I don't care who they were. Down to Cruz. I believe Cruz studied the Constitution so he could dismantle it. He went on his penny little crybaby speech because he still thinks he's going to fight what? The American people? What the American people want? Now, in this DNC madness, now the one thing that I have said all along, and I do not believe that the Bernie people will automatically migrate to Hillary, and they're revolting and they're screaming,
right.
Well, hell no, we'll not vote for Hillary.
That's
guys,
right.
I don't think she's going to get as big of a bump up as Trump did after the convention. Your thoughts?
Well, I think you're right. I think she might even end up being a negative because of that mess she started with that convention. It was a terrible mess at the beginning. They fire the head of the DNC the first day of convention. Boy, there's some poor planning there, do you think?
Scott, what do you think?
Well, I'm still thinking that Miami's stuck underwater. I think that the message is basically that Miami's going to be 10 feet underwater, and that's going to be real soon, by the way. That's not going to be 100 million years from now. That's going to be real soon. And California's...
yeah,
and California is
climate,
still going to be burned.
I
mean, how can you get off of that? I just got done watching part of the DNC tonight.
Yeah.
Wait. What are you talking about? You mean that's what they're talking about at the DNC convention?
Sure.
A video produced by James Cameron, who's a Titanic guy, who's a billionaire by now, a highly coveted production, if you will, and they basically have all these big-time Hollywood actors saying that Miami is not going to exist anymore. It's going to basically go right into the ocean, and that's just from the water rising so much. And then they also said that California is not going to exist anymore because global warming is basically going to burn the entire West Coast up and that every single person will leave. This is what they're putting on prime time air tonight.
This is just coming out tonight. I'm sure that John Kerry chimed in about that air conditioners were a bigger threat than ISIS.
Yeah, it's worse than ISIS air conditioners. Yeah,
it just caught me off guard at how well produced it was. First of all, they had Jack Black to one of the segments. They've got all these big time actors doing these things, And they put it in such a way where they're not saying that this is maybe. They literally said that basically Miami was going to be gone. Now, let me tell you the background behind that. Even if they're right, that's a million years away from now. I mean, it's just absurd, the audacity they're taking, the left is taking, and to push it this far. And I'll take it one step further. What are all these people on the left? Do you think that they're all driving Toyota Priuses? How much you want to bet? How many Humvees does he own? How many big boats?
And jet planes.
All these huge, huge vehicles and all these mega burning, oil-burning vessels. I mean, these people have that produce these movies. And it's like they just expect us all to just believe it and live by it somehow. But what does that mean? I mean, why are they doing that? I mean, it means virtually nothing in the
election. It's simply called diversion, conquer and divide, and avoid
tactical.
The fact. Let's just go on a couple of topics here. First of all, the American flag was nowhere to be seen in the entire convention hall. The greatest threat right now is the fact that Hillary herself opened up, the whole Middle East, and I know that we need to go back to Bush and the war in Iraq, but it's the way that we left. It's what we did in Libya. Hillary can't campaign against and bring up all of the issues because it's under her freaking watch.
Yeah.
And the fact that all you have to go back to is Benghazi and see the fact that she sat in a boardroom trying to figure out how to snowball the American people and make
them
not realize that we were attacked once again on 9/11 on the heels of Barack's second term, how to spin it on a video, which the thing is, she has been running so far above the law. She is so untouchable because she's got it. It's money, and she's bought in, and she's so incestuously entangled with all of them that the bottom line is she goes the entire side. All of them have to go with her. Now, here's the thing. Because Comey left so much on the clothesline about her in those 15 minutes, I keep saying this to people that ask me. I believe he did it intentionally because the statute of limitations would not be up, and she still could be convicted with Trump in the office. Now, their best game plan is to talk to us like the idiots that she thinks that we are. She flat out calls Mexicans taco bowls in her emails. She hates the little people. She hates the little people. It's documented in the book written about her, about how she's the biggest racist. She hates talking to people. Why do you suppose they never show her really engaging with the people and talking? This is all just them hoping that they can entertain us, throw enough fluff, and the typical agenda about it's got to be about women and children and equality, and there has to be coming together and the big kumbaya up my ass. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. We've been waking up for a long time, and there's a lot of people, us, sitting watching at our TV screen, and the reality is when we turn on the TV, whether we're in Minneapolis and 94 has been shut down or they haven't gotten the protesters away from the governor's the governor's house after Castile was shot. Now, when you look at these blacks that have lost their lives at the hands of the police, they're all criminal thugs. And the thing is that's what the Muzzy sympathizing thug has done, has poured gasoline on the country and divided it further to create this element where police officers don't even feel safe going out and protecting those that are trying to protest against the system and them. I mean, it's so crazy. Like, I like to quote sometimes Hannity, everything that is right is wrong. Everything that is wrong is right. The world is inside out and turned around, and there is no common sense, but there is no there's no logical thinking within liberalism. It is a mental disorder. However, now it's on hyperdrive. It's beyond hyperdrive because they're terrified because, you know what? Trump stands a chance at finally, at, you know, really smashing her and crushing her. But I say this. I don't care if he crushes her. I just want him to take her by 1% and take the office because she is a criminal, and the next thing that she will do is voter fraud because she is so adept at all fraud, and that's what we have to face. That's why I hope that his team and this country is all on top of the voter fraud that can happen. But what can happen between now and then is you and I and all of us that are in this fight together, if you get up and you go out and with purpose every day, stop and ask people a few couple questions. I talk to every single person I meet. You ask them if they know someone that has served in the military. Just about everybody does or knows somebody. Then you ask them if they were standing there at the grave after realizing that their brother or friend died after 13 hours under siege when the call was made, and that fat windbag Hillary water buffalo in a panic suit sat in a boardroom plotting how to sell it to the people over a video instead of answering the calls, didn't have to die. Now she's standing there alongside of you saying that you got it wrong after she told you she was going to get back to you, tell you who the killer was, but never responds to your phone call. Then when somebody wants to tell you that Trump's got it wrong in putting at least a wall up or at least containing all of these people, this army being built from within so that we can stop worrying about when your child goes to a movie theater, if they're going to walk out with some ISIS terror bombing themselves and taking out your child and hundreds other more just trying to go to a movie. Tell them you're going to throw them a bag of M&Ms and say, walk away and say, only one will kill you. They're going to say, which one? I don't know. I don't know if it's the green, the purple, the red, the orange. I don't know. That's what we're dealing with. We don't know because a criminal does not confess their crime ahead of time. A criminal does not divulge their background. They don't give you a free background check. They live in dirt and sand. They're sand rats, for God's sake. And why are they coming here, you have to ask? Why? If they don't want to assimilate, then why are they leaving where they didn't have to change anything or bow down to our rules, our regulations? Or how about, why don't they want to be American? Why don't they want to raise their hand in Pledge of Allegiance? Why was anybody needing a teleprompter at the DNC convention for the Pledge of Allegiance? I got to take a breather. We got to take our next break, but we got to fight, baby, fight. We'll be right back.
If you are looking for a straightforward, conservative, good old boy who can also rant about all the madness, but seriously, Bella endorses Aaron Petilla with North Star Insurance. Aaron will take care of all your insurance needs with small-town service, and he will even save you some money. Tell Aaron Bella sent you. You can get Aaron at 952-856-6074. And that again is Aaron at 952-856-6074.
We are back, Bella, Eric, and Scott here. Man, I'm starting to feel like back in the day, Eric, when I used to do the show in the oil field, I would get myself so wound. I'd look in my rearview mirror and I could see my little heart pounding through my chest. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget the day that I was ranting like nobody's business, and that poor, poor, unsuspecting company man finally looked up at me as he was kind of not hunched over, but kind of bending away from me anyways, and he said, you know, I'm not the president. I'm not responsible for all of this. And then I stopped, and I kind of took a deep breath, and then I looked at him and I said, but will you listen to my radio show? Well, I tell you what, I want to give a paraphrase because it falls into a couple of things, and it's a little late in the show, but I'd like to use a paraphrase. So if you meet me, have some courtesy, have some sympathy and some taste. Use your well-learned politicy or I'll lay your soul to waste. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. What puzzles you is the nature of my game. You know what? First of all, we need someone that will lay their soul to waste, that threatens to hurt, harm, do anything to America. We have lost all sense of nationalism and security and that American spirit and will and fighter to also be the world leader and dominator. Now, am I saying that we are to be in control of all the countries? We are the superpower, but we have no respect. But we need someone that will take absolutely no shit from people. And why should we? When did we become the defeatism? When did we start walking around allowing all of those and the rest to threaten to take away our rights? When did we have to be the defender every day of what our forefathers fought for us, which are our freedom, our rights, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights? You know, when did we become so complacent?
Right,
to want
arms.
One of these? Well,
I think that's in there somewhere, isn't it?
Well,
what's that?
This is where political correctness, that's why I fight so hard to try and encourage people to be non-politically correct, because political correctness is what destroyed this country. But you know what? It's Donald J. Trump's unyielding ability. He doesn't have the natural ability to be politically correct, but that's why people like him. People like him because they can relate to him. He says the things that we say. He says the things that we wish they would say, and he says them with the balls and the will to say, you're done, you're fired, or I'm going to pull the trigger, and you're done. I'm going to protect this country. I'm going to make it great again. I'm going to destroy ISIS. If it's not a wall, there will be a process. There will be an end to all this endless, unaccountable spending, this reckless use of taxpayer dollars, and what we've never had a balanced budget in the 7.5 years under the Muzzy sympathizing thug. We cannot allow these career politicians to continue to run business as usual. We have got to bring jobs back. We have got to bring back the American spirit and the American dream. And that's why when people look at Donald J. Trump,
right to bear arms? What do you think? I think there's something there about the Constitution about the right to bear arms. I mean, you kind of feel pretty good about that one, don't you?
Yeah.
The RNC was an open carry.
That protects the First Amendment.
Then they were invited to bring arms. Not one person was shot. No one was injured. No one was hurt. I mean, good people need, all of us need to have the right to bear arms. Thing is history proves in Chicago, in Paris, in all these countries where these terror attacks, they're soft attacks because Chicago has the strictest gun laws and yet the highest death rate by black-on-black murder with guns, and yet it is not brought up. It is simply a spin on us.
Do they really?
Trying to control us. I'm sorry, what?
What is the murder rate in Chicago? Is it pretty high?
That's like 5,000 a year.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then the other stuff's minimal. But, you know, even the cop issue, the police, 50% of all people killed by police are white people, 25% black, 15% Latinos. So they forget about the real facts when they start
what?
Black Lives Matter.
Are you serious? 50% are white?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my
like
God.
It's like 1,000 a year that are killed by police in line of duty, and half of them are black, white people.
So more than the blacks. So
yeah,
more white
yeah.
people are killed by cops every year
yeah.
than black people.
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
How come we're not out there marching, huh? Hey, real quick, because the damn convention's going on, but last night, like Scott was saying about Cameron and his film, but all these Hollywood types, especially the ladies, they are annihilating the white male. They just absolutely don't like white males anymore, and that's all the feminists.
No.
But they're against the police. They're against the Constitution of the United States. They badmouth the founders. they quoted, you know, the all men are created equal is an evil thing. And I just went through this whole thing about how white men are just the axis of evil now, and by God, the feminists are going to fix this problem. It was just amazing to watch.
I haven't met a liberal woman that doesn't hate a man, honestly. I've waged war against the man-hating liberal mindset of women forever, and like we've talked about so many times on this show, it's a breakdown. And the thing is where was there's no American value anything in the DNC. You know, they've gotten so far away from the Democratic Party of 40, 50 years ago. That's why they've become so dangerous, because as you watch in Hillary's America, they are like ISIS. They band together as the strongest terrorists. They say all the right things. They play the dirtiest pool. They know all of the criminal maneuvers, yet they will stand there to your face and talk about how they want to be for the middle class. They want to be for the women, the children, the different minorities. We have to fight against the evil, rich, white man. I mean, the American dream, entrepreneurialism, capitalism, the vision of why we used to immigrate to this country, because the American dream embodied and gave you an ability to, as hard as you worked, you earned and you provided and you built a life for your family. The world that we live in today, when you look at the Minneapolis Star Tribune paper about hearings about ISIS members, Minneapolis, Minnesota has become the mini Somalia. We support Somalia. We are the minority here in Minneapolis. I worry sometimes if we have gone too far in Minneapolis, if we can turn it around. I was listening to someone, though, as I was driving in tonight in traffic after I got off the phone with you guys. He was talking on the Joe Prager show and saying that it's not doom and gloom to talk about ISIS, the terror attacks, the police shootings. If we identify the problem and create a solution. And that is where I was going with when I was giving the analogy to the dream, to listening to these two conventions. When you are listening to all of the fears and the concerns, when you sit down at dinner at night, when you sit on your couch and you watch TV, the thing is who's coming forward, identifying the problem and creating a solution in a critical, mindful way that will actually solve the problem in the long term. If you constantly run from the problem, you don't identify it, and you smear it with a whole bunch of distracting stories and propaganda and bullshit, we will only fall further and deeper. And let me tell you something. The danger is the groundwork has already been laid. The Muzzy sympathizing thug has been in office for 7.5 years. There's a lot of destruction. There's a lot of divide. There is a lot of terror cells already here in this country. And if we don't get a grip on it, Trump has never been wrong when he said there's really bad things that are going to happen with really stupid people in office. Call them what you want. Call it for whatever reason they're doing it. At the end of the day, the result is where we are at. $19 trillion in debt, terror attacks from ISIS on a daily basis, police shootings. We've got far racial divides on a rampant basis throughout this entire country. There is no hope as far as the future. I live in a bubble in Minneapolis with jobs, but the rest of this country is hurting for jobs and opportunity. But the real hurt is the loss of the patriotism, the American spirit, and dream across all over of the understanding. That's why Donald J. Trump has brought true hope and optimism, and we have to get behind him because Donald J. Trump can make America great. He's laid out the plan, and one of the biggest things that people need to understand, the Supreme Court, if nothing else terrifies you, look at the reckless lawlessness of the FBI, Department of Homeland Security. They have let her wipe that server with her ass, shove it up our noses, and tell all of us It doesn't matter, just like Benghazi. What does it matter if they died? What does it matter if Russia hacked into my email? What does it matter if I rigged the DNC convention? She's not being convicted. Well, if you want that kind of lawlessness to continue on, those are, what is it, four seats that will be replaced in this next presidential decision? Well, guess what? We will be a lawless, godless, countryless country, and we will be like all of the rest of the countries. And like I said earlier, I believe it was to you, Scott, I said, I can't imagine Hillary in office. I don't even want to think about it. All I want to inspire everybody to do. Yes.
Okay.
And guys, everybody, I want you, Scott, I know Eric does this, but all of us in this together, when you get out tomorrow, you talk. And it's this simple. I'll bet you everybody's got to go and get gas tomorrow. When you pay for your gas, or if you buy a bottle of water inside, simply ask the cashier, are you voting in November?
Talk to your friends, get everybody activated. Amen. It doesn't take that much of a vote to win this thing this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got the word. Hey, guys, I just got the word. We ran over. So it's been great. It's been fun.
Right.
But get out.
Adios.
Go out.
Goodbye.
Good night.
All right. Sounds good. Good night.